think another thing with the angelic realm that we sometimes don't grasp, but I think it's very significant and interesting in scripture, where you have Elisha serpent, Gehazi, and then he, they're surrounded by the pagan army that's going to conquer them, and then he prayed, the prophet prays, Lord, open your servant's eyes. Okay, then it says he sees these horses and chariots and warriors. But sometimes we act as if, like, suddenly they come into existence. Well, no, they're of course, they were there all along. He just has the power to see them. And so I think what that suggests is that in that angels are spirits in our world that can take on human bodies. But in their own realm, do they have something that could be called physicality? I think very likely they do, because you have not only a passage like that where it's not like, I'm going to make these look like warriors, and I'm going to make these look like horses, and I'm going to make these look like chariots, so that, you know, the servant, you know, and the prophet can envision them. Was it that? Or was it now? No, we see what's there. It's just that we normally can't see what's there. We can't normally see what's real. Well, if so, then we have real, actual horses. We not only have the angels, we have the horses and the chariots. And then when they go back to heaven, where does the chariot get parked? You know, where do the horses go? Do the horses eat? Do they? I mean, this isn't merely a figure of speech. They're seeing something that's real. It's just that it's not normally, can't be seen in our realm. But of course, the definition of reality is not whether it can be seen in our realm. So that if I, you know, walked outside the room, or any of us did now, and closed the door, we couldn't see him, that we say, oh, Randy's no longer real because I can't see him. Well, of course not. We just know we can't see. The limitation is on our part. Our perceptions do not determine reality. There's a very much reality that we cannot see. So I think that's important when it comes to the whole, you know, nature of angels and nature of that world, because the angels, when they come into our world, take on human form. But it doesn't mean they don't have their own form. So yes, they're ministering spirits sent to render service to those who will inherit salvation. So in our world, they're spirits, and perhaps normally not in bodies, and they can take on bodies. But in their own realm, does Michael, you know, the Archangel Michael, does he have an actual recognizable form? When God originally created the angels, if we could you go back in time and be there, would we see anything? Or did he just create a bunch of spirits without form? And I think one of the hints to that, in Daniel 9 and 10, you've got this passage where Daniel is praying. He's reading the prophet Jeremiah, actually, and he's praying that God will answer that prayer, fulfill these, you know, words, and bring his people back from exile. And then an angel appears to him and said, an angel appears to him 3 weeks, 21 days after his prayer, and says, Daniel, at the moment that you prayed, I was sent an answer to your prayer. But I was delayed because I was doing battle with the prince of Persia, and you got the prince of Greece, and those are clearly angelic beings. Well, you have an angelic conflict that has delayed the answer to Daniel's prayer by 3 weeks, or at least the coming to speak, you know, to him. Well, when angels battle, so we know there is angelic warfare, do spirits actually battle in the sense of, is the physicality of battle just an imaginary thing? Or do these, are these angels actually physically at war with each other? And I think it's at least possible they're physically at war with each other. How does one evil angel engage in battle with a righteous angel in such a way as to prevent his arrival at a certain place for 3 weeks? That just seems to imply a physicality to it that, you know, we don't know, but seems like it.